Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports. Now with the latest, here's Joe Gekler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast and Facebook Live. What's up, Facebook? Thanks for joining us. Joe Gekler, Eric McElroy, Chris Cale on assignment today. He will not be joining us until Friday. But, Eric, big weekend of high school football, college football, and yes, we will get into the NFL from Sunday.
What a mess.
Yeah, you said it best. What a mess. We will get into that shortly. But let's recap week number five of the high school football season from this past Friday night.
Yeah, we'll do that. Our game of the week, Joe, Ridgewood and Strasburg. It was a game for a half. At halftime, it was tied at 14, then Ridgewood just ran away with it in the second half. They took their opening possession down for a touchdown, and then an interception by Strasburg, and Ridgewood took that pick all the way back to the house for six. From there, it was all Ridgewood.
Yeah, it was downhill after that pick six, and Strasburg hung in there. They played well. They've been doing that the whole season, and Ridgewood just took advantage of a couple mistakes and got the win, got out of Strasburg, and improved to 4-1 on the season.
Yeah, 49-26, the final. Quarterback Colton Alexander, three touchdowns, threw for 244. Ridgewood, as we mentioned, that big third quarter, they scored 21 points, kind of put the game away. Justin Stropke, the main man for Strasburg, 35 carries, a touchdown, and 140 yards. Joe, since that Dover Lake game, the Tornadoes have been sort of on a downward spiral. Get it? Tornado spiral.
Yes, yes.
See what I did there? They lost to Talmadge.
Was it a clockwise spiral or counterclockwise?
I don't know how tornadoes go.
All right, I got you.
Talmadge beat Dover 28-21 as Dover went on the road and couldn't get a victory.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. Talmadge is a good football team. Dre Hess did play for the Tornadoes, though, which is a good sign, especially coming into week six. We'll get into that a little bit. But Dover, you need to find a little bit more offense, kind of find out what happened to it. But Dover on the road, tough game to win. But they played well. Like I said, Dre Hess returned. We'll see what happens this coming week.
Dover fell to 3-2. Talmadge now 4-1. New Philadelphia finally played four full quarters of football. And Kai Crothers, where's that name been at? He scored three touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, he was my hats off for the week. Kai Crothers from New Philadelphia, three touchdowns. Kind of the workhorse, as Coach Matt Dennison said in our postgame. He gets those short, tough yards. He battles, and he's really the workhorse for that team is Kai Crothers. Helps Baron May be able to throw the ball. I've said it for 3 years. You run to set up the pass.
New Philadelphia, they beat Canton Central Catholic, the defending state champion Crusaders, 35-21 was the final. When we talked to head coach Thomas Lasecki last Wednesday at our Extra Point show, he mentioned the development of quarterback Taron Harris, and it continues to show. He had two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, as Claymont. They really handled Sandy Valley 46-7.
Claymont's on a roll right now, man. And ever since week one, their defense is playing well. Their offense is clicking. Claymont, probably one of the best teams in the area. It's going to be a fun ride to watch them the rest of the way to see what happens with the Mustangs. A couple tough games left for them. Of course, Indian Valley week 10. They have Garaway coming up. We'll talk about that as well. But Claymont, great game against Sandy Valley, going on the road with a big win. Another a game that they handled and had from the outset.
You mentioned that Mustangs defense, they held the Cardinals to just 97 yards of total offense. Sandy Valley's been struggling. Indian Valley over Buckeye Trail, also by the same final as that previous game, 46-7. Caden Hostetler, Joe, three touchdowns, 206 rushing yards. Cade Williams, 119 rushing yards, also 68 passing and a touchdown. That's a lethal combo right there.
Very lethal, and Indian Valley's playing some of the best football of any team in the area, including Indian Valley and New Philadelphia, both playing very, very good, both undefeated. But Indian Valley, man, they've got to take care of the penalties, and I know Coach Lancaster talked about it in the postgame, something they need to work on, because in tougher games, it could come back and bite them.
Well, if you're a coach, nothing's ever perfect. They're always looking for something to improve on. Garaway, they're improving throughout the year. They beat Malvern 43-12. Garaway, the Pirates, they ran for 264 yards. That's something we haven't heard the past couple of years. Normally, they like to sling it around, Joe.
Yeah, they do sling it around a lot, but that's two games now this year that they've outrushed their passing offense. We're used to 400 or 500 yards a game passing, and they're running the ball well, and quarterback Dawson Lay, very consistent in this game. He was 14 of 16, three touchdowns. Brady Winters picks up the slack on the ground. Mr. Everything for the Garaway Pirates. They do improve to 3-2. They're going to be our, you know, our Wednesday show, our Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance. The Garraway Pirates will join us here in the studio Wednesday night to talk about their season so far. Head coach Jason Wallach and his four captains will be in the studio with us on Wednesday. So the Pirates playing well. Another tough matchup, though, this week, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, make sure you folks check out that show on Wednesday night, live on the radio. Stream it, or we may be having a portion of it or two on Facebook Live. Bridgeport, they beat Canaan Valley 56-14. Also, East Canton over Tuskegee Valley 29-10. East Canton had 361 total yards of offense in that game. Ethan Love, the only touchdown run for Tuskegee Valley. They struggled offensively, only had 119 total yards after they got the victory last week. I can't remember if they won last week or not. My mind was still on Canaan Valley getting their first win. But Tuskegee Valley, offensively, they struggled in that game.
They did, and East Canton's a really good football team, though. East Canton's going to win a lot of the rest of their games and maybe get into the playoffs. So East Canton, good football team. Tuskegee Valley just struggled a little bit against a really good football team.
West Holmes got their first victory of the season. We spoke with head coach
Zach Gardner.
Thank you very much. Friday night on our post-game show, 56-20 over Madison. Maybe we'll see if that will be a sign of good things to come for West.
We hope so. Absolutely. Big win for them. A confidence builder. You know, I asked him on the post game, hey, coach, it's been a trying season. He said trying. He goes, we're building the blocks just like we want to. We don't think it's trying. Yeah, things are going just the way they want them to go out at West Holmes. So, yep. Coach Gardner building a program out there just like he did at Sandy Valley.
Yeah, well said by him, too. Marlington over Carrollton by the slimmest of margins, 20-19, the final. Steubenville, who Dover will take on next week, well, really now this week, 55-20 over USO, the fighting Barack Obamas, right?
Yes.
Is that what they were? Fairless in double overtime beat Loudonville 35-29. And what was that Saturday final, Newcomerstown and TCC?
41-8, TCC over Newcomerstown. TCC improves to 2-3 on
two
the year.
Two in a row now for them.
Yep, two in a row. And then, two out of the last three. They lost to Garraway in between the wins.
Oh, okay, good call.
And then Newcomerstown 0-5 on the season. So TCC with a big win. Newcomerstown still trying to find the win column in the 2017 season.
That's the final scoreboard from week number five last week. Like Joe mentioned, our Extra Point Wednesday, then Friday, we're back at it again.
Yes, we are. Friday, you speak of Friday, week six of the high school football season. A lot of good games on tap. It's going to be a fun week, I think. A lot of really good games, and it's going to be a fun week to talk a little high school football.
We mentioned week number six, that Dover versus Steubenville game. Dre Hess, he's going to be 100%. They'll need him in that one.
Yep, absolutely.
Claymont also taking on Garraway. Very good game right there. Indian Valley and Ridgewood. New Philadelphia on the road at Marietta after New Philly played the first 3 weeks at home, right? Now this is the second straight road game for them. Newcomerstown versus Tuskegee Valley. Sandy Valley versus TCC. Strasburg looking to get back on track. They'll host Buckeye Trail. Malvern at East Canton. Carrollton taking on West Branch. And West Holmes versus Worcester.
Yeah, that's a good week six schedule. A lot of fun games there. We'll have a bunch of games covered for you. Of course, Dover will be covered. Philly, Indian Valley, Claymont, Garraway will be covered as well. Sandy Valley will be covered. And we'll have some other games covered for you as well with all of our stringers, our live look-ins between 7 and 10. You got to check us out on 99.9 WTUZ. During our show on Friday nights, we talk to the stringers. Hopefully, we time it right to where we can get a touchdown on the air with
one
of our stringers.
We will one time this
year.
Yep,
absolutely.
We'll just have to keep one on for like 5 minutes.
Yes, we will. And our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports, where you're watching us on Facebook Live, you can go there every Friday night, check out highlights from your game or just any game around the area that we have covered for you. That's on our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports. And of course on Twitter, if you like Twitter, @big_Z Sports, we put the videos on Twitter as well, so you can check out those if you have a Twitter account and you're sitting there and you want to catch out some videos or some highlights from your favorite team or your favorite player from around the area. That's Big Z Sports on Friday night. It's a lot of fun, Eric.
Speaking of coverage, Joe, Werther Cutlery sponsors our Buckeye coverage, not only on Friday night when we talk to your boy Berm, but Saturday afternoons when Big Z Sports invades the horseshoe.
Yes, we invade the horseshoe, all right, all one of us, and it's a lot of fun, though. And this past Saturday, it was a hot one, let me tell you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. It was 92 degrees was the air temperature. The field was probably in excess of 100 degrees down there. I ran into Jeremy Birmingham on on the field during pregame and in the fourth quarter. And man, that poor guy, he was just physically just drained from the heat. And I talked to him a little bit afterwards as he was sitting in the press box cooling off a little bit. And he said, man, he goes, that physically wore me out.
Well, think about it, because he was sick the night before. So
yeah,
hopefully
he's been sick the whole week, apparently.
Hopefully you sweated all that out of his system.
I hope so. Buckeyes Saturday. Played well, though. Nice to see. I wish they would have covered the spread. But you know what? The best thing about that game was JT Barrett was done in the second quarter.
Haskins.
I drew a blank. Dwayne Haskins came in midway through the second quarter and played great. You know, he did throw a pick six in the fourth quarter, but you know what? Like Urban said in the press conference, it's a freshman mistake. He'll learn from it. He'll move on. But dude's got a gun for an arm.
He has a cannon. I was able to see him up close in person in that Army game. What do you think of him? Just first impressions, just the sheer look and the ability
very,
of the guy.
Very imposing figure. Yeah. You know, I was next to him in the press conference talking to him, and you know, standing next to him on the field, he walks right by me, and I'm like, wow. I look up at him, and I'm 6'2", and the dude's like probably 3 inches taller than I am, and he just, with his hair, he feels like he's about 6'8", so he's got a big...
With the Julius Irving thing going.
Yeah, he does. But you know what? Haskins, very imposing figure. He had some touch on his throws late in the game, too. He threw one over the top of the defense, right into the arms of a receiver, C.J. Saunders. I think the future's bright with Haskins. I really think that. I know Joe Burrow came in late in the game, maybe the last series, handed it off a couple times. But, you know, Haskins, I was very, very impressed, and I think it's only going to get better with him.
The Buckeyes beat UNLV 54-21. If you guys want, click on WTUZ.com, go to the sports page. Our story is up there from that game. You mentioned Haskins, 228 through the air, 2 touchdowns, and you mentioned that pick six as well. JT was done like 2 quarters in after 5 touchdown passes.
Pretty impressive, though, with what the Buckeyes did. And they set a record on Saturday with 7 different receivers catching touchdown passes. I don't think I can name them off the top of my head. I might be able to. I know Johnny Dixon.
Well, let's see. I got him right here. Keep
all right,
going.
Johnny Dixon, 1, Paris Campbell,
2,
C.J. Saunders,
3,
Rashad Berry,
4,
Austin Mack. Did he get one?
No. No, he
didn't. Okay. I'm drawing a blank.
You have McLaurin.
Victor.
How did you get K.J. Hill?
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I don't know how I forgot those. Okay. But, yeah, those are 7 different receivers. Really cool stat line. Another thing that happened, Dwayne Haskins obviously threw his first collegiate touchdown pass in the game. He threw it to C.J. Saunders, which was his first collegiate touchdown catch.
Well, and that throw was maybe the best throw of the whole day.
And we got some sound from him talking about that. He didn't even know it was a touchdown until Saunders stood up because he thought it got picked off.
Yeah,
because he threw it through such a tight window.
Yeah, he threaded that needle.
Yeah, Saunders stood up with the ball, and he's like, wow, I just threw a touchdown pass. You know, and Saunders, him and Saunders, I guess, have become really close on the team, and it was really cool to see Haskins' first TD pass was Saunders' first TD reception, so it was really cool.
I thought it was great to see all these different receivers get some work. I have a feeling the Buckeyes' running game will be there when and if we do need it with Dobbins and Weber whenever Weber gets back. What we needed work on were those receivers.
Sure.
And they definitely got some work there on Saturday. We're not going to really find out how good the Buckeyes are until their first true road test. I mentioned it Friday, and it's not this coming week at Rutgers.
It's not.
At Nebraska game is their first true test. And then after that, 2 weeks after that, Penn State. We're not going to find out how good the Buckeyes are until we get to that point.
I think we'll find out a little bit more about them against Penn State at home. Penn State's a good football team, which they struggled at Iowa. Remember me saying that on Friday night? I said,
yes,
you watch that.
Yes.
They almost lost that game. But I think they'll be tested against Penn State at home. First true road test, like you mentioned, Eric, would be at Nebraska. But the Buckeyes are playing well. Dobbins, very impressive. Weber didn't play on Saturday. I think he's still nursing that hamstring.
Yep.
They didn't really need him. Antonio Williams looked pretty good. JT ran the ball pretty well. So all in all, great win for the Buckeyes, even though they drop in the rankings, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, the latest AP rankings for college football. As you mentioned, the Buckeyes fell from 10 to 11, falling also one spot were the Wisconsin Badgers from 9 to 10, but they were off last week. The top 5, Alabama, still number 1. Clemson, they leapfrogged Oklahoma there.
That doesn't surprise me. Clemson's a really good football team.
They're number 2 in the nation. Oklahoma fell to 3, Penn State. That game, though, 4 seconds left, 4th and goal. Talk about threading the needle.
Do you want to hear a funny story? Couch watching
good
that
grief.
Game, and I know you and Chris were probably in bed already.
I was long
you were
gone.
Oh, yeah.
Long gone.
But I was about ready. I had the text written up. I told you Penn State would lose at Iowa. I had it typed out. I was ready to hit the send button. And then McSorley threw that touchdown pass, and I went, delete.
Yep.
And I'm like, dang it.
That sound you make when you delete a text?
Yep.
the backspace, if you will. USC rounds out the top five. Other teams in the Big Ten, Michigan at 8.
They struggled a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Wilson Spate went down. Their backup came in. They played well in the second half, but Purdue gave them a game I don't think they were expecting.
And that's it. Only four teams in the top 25 from the Big Ten, but they're all in the top 10.
See Florida State drop out. They're 0-2
now.
Yeah, yeah, so Florida State's struggling without DeAndre Francois. We talked about that on Friday night. I thought they would be okay, but obviously they lose a lot when you lose a quarterback like Francois. So it's interesting. Oklahoma, I think, stumbled a little bit. They won, but they struggled a little bit against Baylor. So I think that's why
I think that's why
Clemson jumped them a little bit.
I want to mention this to you, your playoff prediction for
Oklahoma
State.
I know.
Bro,
and they make me look
bad. They were
bad.
At home.
I thought they were at TCU.
No, that was Oklahoma.
You know,
TCU jumped all the way to 9 after that.
So Oklahoma State's still really good. It's early. You stumble like that. It happened a couple years ago to a team in Columbus. I think they lost to Virginia Tech at home.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tend to forget that, although that same season they won the national title. So, you know.
There you go.
That we want to remember.
Yes.
Hey, before we get into the NFL action, Joe, we'll just both of us say how we feel about what went down over the weekend. I guess if you want, you have to go back in time a little bit. The whole Kaepernick thing, we all know why he did it, for inequality. Okay. Then Trump on Friday in Alabama has a speech. Flies off the handle, calls basically all NFL players SOBs, says they should be fired, fined, suspended for kneeling for the national anthem and everything else that the national anthem and the flag represents. Some players on Sunday and teams, they united as one. They sort of galvanized, if you will. Is it disrespectful, one, to kneel for the national anthem? Yeah, total disrespect right there. Is it America? Can you, in a sense, do what you want in terms of protests and freedom of speech? Yeah, you can. But to be honest, I don't have a problem with those players doing that yesterday. They felt they were called out, and they felt they had to unite. They felt they had to stand up for something or against something, which at that point in time I think was Donald Trump. Six players the week before showed protest by kneeling during the anthem. Over 200. Yesterday. I think that number will go down. All the teams that didn't come out for the national anthem yesterday, the Steelers, the Titans, there were a couple others. I think they'll be out there the following Sunday. We'll just have to wait and see. But it was all in response to Trump. It wasn't the NFL and all of their players saying, let's disrespect the flag today. Let's disrespect the anthem. It had nothing to do with that. It just had to come with them coming together. For example, I guess the best way I can put it, for Chris, who isn't here, but if somebody were to bash Chris, say if somebody's bashing Chris on social media, going after him, Chris, you're horrible, you suck, you're an SOB, would we not have Chris's back?
Sure.
That's kind of what all the rest of the players in the NFL, white, black, Mexican, whatever, they all came together yesterday. And that's really all it was, a coming together of those players.
Yeah, and to piggyback off what you said a little bit, I have no problem with the protest whatsoever. We are in a free country. That's the greatest thing about America. We can speak our mind, protest whatever we want. I just don't think, in my personal opinion, that the national anthem is the place to do that, and here's why. My grandfather fought in World War II. You know, I've had a lot of friends fight in the Gulf War and Vietnam, and, you know, I know people that have fought, and I know some that gave their life. I think kneeling during the national anthem is not the place to do this, because there you're stomping on the grave of the people that gave you that opportunity to protest, which I'm okay with, but not during the national anthem. If you want to stay in the locker room, I applaud that. I'm okay. Don't bring attention to yourself. If you don't want to be out there, I'm okay with it. But just show respect to our country, that first and foremost, our national anthem, and the people that fought for you to give you the right to protest like you want to. Just do it on a different stage.
And, you know, I played a couple sound bites this morning on the morning show, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here, by the way. And DeShone Kizer, Browns rookie quarterback, for lack of a better term, he said, "I'm no SOB." And he went on to say how he'll fight for things he feels are right in this country. The best comment of the day post-game came from Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. And, yeah, I mean, it was a lengthy comment, but in a roundabout way, he told folks in the media that they're not going to be divided by this, at least them as a team. And I don't think the NFL wants to be divided by this, and that's sort of why they did what they did yesterday. Joe, you're right. Is it wrong? Is it disrespectful? Yeah, it's all those things. And does race still exist in this country?
Unfortunately,
you bet your butt it still exists.
I think we're going backwards on that, to be honest.
Yeah,
we're
all set back by all this. The problem is we have a president who can't keep his mouth shut, can't stay away from Twitter, continues to fuel this stuff. And it was just a mess yesterday. Couldn't get away from it. We watch sports to get away from certain things. It's an escape for many. Yesterday was no escape. It was hell.
It was. And I decided not to watch really any football yesterday. I watched
nuts.
The Indians for a little bit.
Couldn't do it.
And, you know, it was tough. But, you know, I applaud, you know, as much as we don't like the Steelers, me and you, and I know there's a lot of Steelers fans around, but what they did by staying in the locker room was very classy, I thought. Same way with the Titans and the Seahawks. They were in the locker room. But one thing that was really cool about the Steelers is that Alejandro Villanueva, he served 3 tours in Afghanistan. He came out and put his hand over his heart and stood there, and I thought that was a classy move.
Yeah.
With his teammates literally in the tunnel right behind him.
That was Photoshop.
That was Photoshop.
Yeah,
okay.
That wasn't
well,
right.
Well, so anyway, well, Villanueva standing there with that during the national anthem, I thought that was very classy, and you know, hats off to him, because that's thank you for your service. And you know, Chris, same way, thanks for his service.
Hell,
but
our boss is,
yeah, absolutely,
he served. Is it ignorant to do that? Yeah, from I don't know, Joe, there's just so many thoughts about that whole thing. We could go on and on and on about it. I'd prefer to talk about the Browns going 0-3 yesterday.
Hey,
on
sweet.
The road at
hey,
the Colts.
The Bengals did too.
Yeah, the Bengals are now 0-3. Those two teams play each other next week. DeShone Kizer, turnovers once again is what did the Browns in, and you can't give up 31 points to a third-string quarterback. They made him look like freaking an all-pro out there, Michael Vick.
I know you're frustrated with Hugh Jackson, and you're frustrated with the whole direction right now of the organization, but I'll say this to you, and I'll say this with all due respect to your thoughts, but Hugh Jackson is not going out there throwing these interceptions. He's not going out there making these defensive penalties or offensive penalties. He's not going out there putting the ball on the ground, fumbling it away. He's not out there. He's calling plays. The players themselves are the ones not executing. So if you want to put any blame on anybody, you put it on Hugh Jackson as allowing a rookie to start in the NFL, for one, that's probably not ready to start in the NFL. And then you put it on the players for the rest of the way for not executing and not making the correct play.
Here's what I put on Hugh Jackson. One, there's too much on his plate. He needs himself an offensive coordinator.
Sure, I agree with that.
He can't do it all himself. Another thing, he never seems to have this team ready to play.
That's Marvin Lewis rubbing off on him, dude.
From the get-go, he never has his team ready to play. And I'm also going to put 10 penalties for 113 yards on Hugh Jackson, too, because...
But he's not jumping off sides.
Hey, no, it's a discipline thing, Joe.
Okay.
It's been going on the whole preseason. 10 penalties a game for every single game the Browns have played in preseason until now. That's coaching. You can't have guys jumping off sides. It's all discipline.
It is discipline, I agree. But he's not out there jumping off sides. He's not out there holding.
That about any coach.
I know, but you can't lay penalties on a coach, because that's not literally not his fault.
Right, but what I...
They're professionals. They should know how to stay on sides. They should know how not to pass interference, not to hold. They should know how to do that stuff.
Bottom line, 19 games for Hugh Jackson for the Browns. He's 1-18. They have 2 games coming up against teams that are a combined 1-6.
Sure.
The Jets freaking won yesterday, right?
Dude, everybody won. The NFL was weird yesterday.
The Browns have the Bengals at home next week. Bengals are 0-3.
It might be 3-0 game.
Browns are losing that game.
I don't know,
man. I'm telling you right now, they're losing that game. Bet with me.
Okay, listen. The Bengals did not score an offensive touchdown the first 2 weeks of the season. Okay, they come out yesterday 21-7. They lose in overtime.
Yeah, they do.
Okay?
At Lambeau.
That's more demoralizing than what happened to him the first 2 weeks of the season. I think that hurts them. I think now they're like, okay, our chances for the playoffs has dramatically went down. Can they get back on the right track in this game? They can, but I've said this since week one. Bad teams don't win on the road. And you saw it with the Browns yesterday. They couldn't win on the road. The Bengals couldn't win on the road. They had a lead, but they couldn't hold it.
Yeah, if you're the Browns, if you're a head coach, Hugh Jackson, you got to start beating. If there's a team on your schedule that you should beat, your favorite against, you got to beat the teams that you are supposed to beat.
The Browns should beat
them
this week.
The Browns didn't do that last week.
The Browns should beat the Bengals, and the Browns should win next week, honestly.
Yeah. I said going into this 3-game stretch, Colts, Bengals, Jets, that they needed to go 2-1. And I don't see them going 2-1. They drop all 3 of these games, Something's going to change real quick. London Jags over the Ravens in a shocker 44-7.
I was stunned about that.
A weird game. Bills beat the Broncos in Buffalo 26-16.
Scratch my head on that one.
You see Von Miller there?
Yes.
They'll let these guys celebrate touchdowns now, but a little, I guess it was taunting in a way. I mean, but Tyrod Taylor and Von Miller, they go way back. They're buddies. And they were both just laughing about it, and then out came a flag. Saints got back on track. They beat the Panthers 34-13. And overtime, the Steelers lost to the Bears 23-17.
I saw a funny meme.
That holds off that whole Mitch Trubisky thing for a while.
It does. I saw a funny meme after that game. It said, hey, the hats off to the Steelers. They did not come out and protest during the pregame, and they didn't come out to play the game.
They didn't. Yeah, they stayed in the locker room.
They stayed in the locker room, and they lost. So.
The Falcons remain undefeated. They beat the Lions 30-26. You see how that game ended?
I did not.
Yeah, kind of weird. You thought Golden Tate scored a touchdown there and then called it. No, he didn't get in. Then 10-second runoff, and Lions lose. It was really
That's weird.
Really weird game. Some other notable games. Oh, Tom Brady, he did it again. Golden boy.
Yes, he did.
Last-second touchdown toss. As the Patriots beat the Texans 36-33, Brady got beat up in that game, though. The Eagles, they beat the Giants, and the Giants are now 0-3.
On a last-second field goal from a guy that was cut by the Cincinnati Bengals, who their kicker missed the field goal to lose.
The Titans, they beat the Seahawks. How about Tennessee? They're 2-1, 33-27.
I told you, didn't I? Didn't I tell you it's tough to come across to the East Coast and win?
Yeah, you did mention that. Also, the Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-10. And then on a somewhat political day, yesterday in the NFL, it all ended in our nation's capital.
Yes, it did. It was quite ironic.
As the Redskins beat the Raiders 27-10. Who's tonight? Oh, Cowboys-Cardinals. We saw that game in the preseason.
We did. I think I'm going to send Chris out to cover the Cardinals for
Please
us.
Please do. And, locker room.
Yes.
Locker room access.
Yes.
So there you have it. Also, breaking news kind of last night into this morning. I saw your I don't know when you sent that text, but I was sleeping last night.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's all good. The Chicago Bulls is buying out Dwayne Wade's contract. The top suitors for him, Joe, include three teams.
Yep, Cleveland, Miami, and Oklahoma City. I also saw San Antonio on that list, but a guy from ESPN.
OKC's, that's news to me. So
yeah, did you hear about the trade possibility, too, with OKC?
Well, they just got Melo, too. What are they trying to do over there?
I know, it's kind of crazy getting the three plus Wade, but I would love to see Wade come to Cleveland. I think that would really help. I don't know if he starts for us. Maybe he starts until IT comes back from his little hip issue, but we'll see what happens. But Dwayne Wade could be a Cleveland Cavalier soon.
Yeah, I would just add some more depth on that bench.
We need
for
it.
The Cavaliers. Yeah, I'll certainly take it. Even if D-Wade, listen, we know his knees are bad. We don't need you till February on, you know? We're really not even... I'll take March. I'll take March and on.
You think we can win that much till March?
Yeah, we'll be all right. What'd I tell you last year? The Cavs aren't worried about getting first in the East, you know,
and they
what I
proved
mean?
That so
they proved it last year.
Well, Eric, good talking to you on the podcast. We'll see you Wednesday again. Don't forget our Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Wednesday night with the Garaway Pirates on 99.9 WTUZ. Join us, or if you cannot join us, stream us on your phone, presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance.
Hey,
as
now.
Well you're on WTUZ.com, or you can text the Weaver Appliance text line. Text the word listen to 330-339-9399. You're about two clicks away from here in the station 24 hours a day. Again, Eric, thank you. We'll see you Wednesday. And for that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast and Facebook Live will come to a close. We'll talk to you Wednesday night with the Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Extra Point on Z Country 99.9.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.